As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look into innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Joining us in studio is Dale Turkin, the founder of ScrapGo, a Chicago-based startup transforming the scrap industry from a mysterious club into a completely transparent and efficient environment. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, scraps. Do I even have to ask you, like, how does a person decide I want to start a startup on getting rid of scrap?
Well, you know, it's not something that you grow up, at least I didn't
I say,
grow
some
up
people
wanting
do, not
to
you.
Be, not wanting to be in scrap, but it's just something that kind of evolved over a period of time. You know, it's an industry that is huge, obviously, and we had some connections to it. A business partner of mine a long time ago, his family was in it for like 80 years. And so when we were developing some ideas about business, it just kind of came up. We thought we could apply our business model to it, and that's what we've done.
So I guess, you know, for those who, this is a thing where, like you just said, unless you're born in it, most people, I don't think, understand what happens with scrap other than you see people drive around with trucks and take stuff off your yard. That's about as much as I know. Why don't you, before you get into what ScrapGo is and how it works and how it changes the world of scrap, why don't you kind of explain a little bit what the problem is?
Sure. So what happens is you've got these junkyards all over the place, auto wrecking yards, scrap processing yards. You see them, if you're driving down the expressway, you see them along the side of the road constantly. Yep. There's tons of them here in Chicago. So what happens is people bring junk, primarily metal, paper, plastic, electronics. And in metal, there's ferrous and non-ferrous. Yep. So what they do is they take in the metal and then they process it so that it's usable by a consumer. And a consumer is someone who will melt down metal or plastic, or they'll take paper down to its base and they'll make some other product with it, whether it's new steel, new copper wire, new stainless steel sheet, whatever it is, they use the stuff that's been discarded to make new material. So the problem is you've got scrap yards that are really good at getting material in and processing it so it can be used by mills, foundries, etc. But they don't have the sophistication to really go out and market their material. And that's where we come in. So we help them find new homes for the material.
So, okay, so tell us the story then now about ScrapGo. Now that people, and myself included, understand what is going on in the behind the scenes, what is ScrapGo as a platform? What does it do? And then after that, we're going to get into the journey of like how it kind of came to where it is now.
Sure. So what ScrapGo does is primarily trades metal or paper or plastic. It trades scrap. We have a platform where people can go on and list their material, they can put pictures up there, and then other people can go on bid on it.
So it's essentially a marketplace. Like, you've created a marketplace for scrap.
That's right. So we've created this marketplace.
That's incredible.
But the thing is that the scrap business, for as much machinery and technology that's there, that's available, these giant machines, people are still using their wall phones and their fax machines.
Oh,
and
I believe it.
And so, you know, slowly but surely, new generations are taking over.
Well, the office that they have, most of them, is just a trailer.
It's, right.
For the most part. I mean, usually if you see at the back of them, it's like a construction trailer.
Well, right. And you know, you'll talk to some people in some areas of the country, and they've lived on the scrapyard. Like, their house is on the scrapyard, kind of like Sanford and Son.
I've been waiting. You stole my thunder. I was waiting this entire thing to drop my Fred Sanford line, and you just took it from
right.
me. But it's all right. Scrap goes yours, so it belongs to you.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, these people, they use technology, but they don't use the new internet yep. technology. And so, you know, we have a way to get them to really make more money.
Yeah. Without them having to have the burden of actually operating new technology and learning things, all they have to do is sign on.
Right. Well, they can sign on. We can operate it for them. You know, I have a staff of people that will take in, all they have to do is send us pictures. They'll take in the information, take the material, post it up on the website, and, you know, then we go out and market it. It's no touch, you know, for them at all if they want it to be.
Well, you know, I feel like, and that's sort of, we'll kind of dive into this a little bit, pun intended, I guess. I feel like one of the difficulties you would have had or would have normally with this particular group of individuals that are in the scrap game, so to speak, is that they are really old fashioned. They're really like, it's a generation thing. You didn't just like wake up like, well, I'm going to come out of college and go to scrapyard. Like, it's been your dad, your grandfather, your great grand. It's been something you've been doing forever. So change for them is really difficult, and getting them to adopt new things is really difficult. And the fact is, if you wanted them to do anything at all, you had to create something that was no touch point for them.
Right.
Essentially.
I mean, you nailed it. You know, you'll talk to a guy who's third generation scrap, about our age, and he's...
That's a new hashtag, by the way. That's going to be on our post. Third gen scrap. Hashtag third gen scrap.
Third generation scrap. His grandfather came over from somewhere, started with a truck, and then the father took it to a new level, and now he's trying to take it to another new level. But you ask him, you say, so why do you sell to this consumer? Well, my father sold there, my grandfather sold there to, you know, his father and his grandfather. So it's not... You know, it's more relationship-based. It's not really market-based. And then when you show them, hey, not only can I help you because you don't have to use your trucks because we'll come pick up the material and take it to where it needs to go so they can focus on other things, you can make more money by working with us. They're like, well, why didn't I do this before? The answer is, I don't know.
I have no idea,
Yeah.
Well, they didn't think of it. That's why.
Right.
But, well, without getting us whacked by some of these, you know, some of these scrap guys are not, it's not all on the up and up, so to put it mildly. You just mentioned that you also will pick up the scrap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about, that's a huge part of the, in my mind, that's a huge part of the model that they previously had, right? Is that a major expense is they've got to go out and get it. They got to go out and find it. They got to move it. Moving that stuff is extremely expensive. How have you figured out how to go and pick this up and build that into your own business model?
Well, one of the things that we did early on was partner with a freight brokerage company.
Yep.
And the reason that we did that is because I tried to manage it myself, and it was more than a full-time job. And I couldn't, you know, manage the buy side of the business, the sell side of the business, all the back office stuff, the technology, and the transportation.
Well, and this is a huge part of the transportation. I feel like, obviously, many of the things that you're doing with Scrapco are very cool and have a lot of potential. But you remove any of the three main ones that you named, and I feel like it doesn't work out. So the transportation one was a massive, massive part. It might have been the biggest part to get in with them in the first place.
Right. And we've got a partnership with a buddy of mine. He's got a freight brokerage company. It's called Keenan Freight Brokerage. Craig's a great guy. And then what they do is they go out and build the capacity for us. So we tell them, hey, I have a consumer, which is a mill, a shredder, a foundry, somebody who's going to take in the material. Yeah. I have a consumer here. And so we want to know where the most plentiful lanes are. Where can we get the most capacity for the best rate? And then they go out and buy the transportation and we fill those trucks. So, you know, when we first started, the price of gasoline was way up. So, you know, the freight cost was exorbitant, you know? And so now with the price of gas going down, it's a little more reasonable, gives us a little bit more margin to play with, which we pass along to our suppliers, so they want to continue to move more material. But the biggest thing for the suppliers as it relates to transportation is they don't have to take a guy off the yard who could be good at, you know, ripping engines out of a car, for instance, or, you know, doing something along those lines, and have them drive a truck that's loaded with scrap. Yep. Now they can focus on their core business.
Well, in their world, obviously they're not acquiring it, but it's essentially acquired innovation. You've created something that they can utilize that is, yes, it will affect the bottom line, right? Because they can sell more and you're marketing some of the stuff and the prices and way in the more margins and so forth are better. But it's even bigger than that, in that they have the ability to then utilize resources in other places and make even more money in places that have nothing to do with scrap go.
That's right.
I think that's the big trick. And, you know, a lot of there has been an uptick in marketplace based, you know, companies that are popping up, particularly in Chicago. And I feel like this is one of those where it's actually a marketplace, but it's even bigger than that. It's a huge efficiency tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say that other industries have experienced this sort of shift. Yeah. Transportation is certainly one of them.
For sure.
And, you know, this scrap just flies under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, like we said earlier, you don't wake up after you graduate from college and you're like, I think I'm going to go and work at a scrapyard. You just don't think of it.
Scrap takes a lot of crap, man.
Yeah, it does. Not that there's anything wrong with it, okay?
No.
But it's just not, it's not on. It's not at the top of everybody's radar.
You don't. I guess I feel like, you know, from my standpoint, you're driving to the airport and you see the scrapyards. You don't think about. I mean, first off, most of the time you don't even see anything moving. So it just looks like it's like a dump yard.
Right.
I don't
think people understand. Pile of garbage.
I don't think people, and it's because of the piles, you don't see people, you know, like ants crawling around. I don't think people understand that we don't just store garbage there. Like, there's like a business that's going on behind the scene. And I think that's part of the reason that people, you know, don't really think of it.
Yeah.
Before we get you out of here, why don't you talk a little bit about kind of the other part of this, which is the data and the ability to know more about, you know, at least provide insight into what the timelines and the efficiency models and things are to give that back to the end client.
Yeah, so there's a lot of data that's out there, a lot. I mean, you've got supply data, which is who's producing what, pricing data, who's buying what and for how much.
Yep.
You've got the transportation data. You know, you've got the market data that changes minute by minute. And so really what we've done is we've taken all of this data together and used it to our advantage. So not so we can forecast out, but so that when we have an opportunity, we know where to go to either fill an order for a consumer. You know, if they're buying a certain amount of scrap and they want it, we know exactly who to go to because we're tracking by supply side data. And then on the other side, if somebody comes to us with an opportunity, we're also tracking buy side, so we know where to sell it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, I think that's our advantage. Traditional brokers, they work a lot on spreadsheets, you know, notepads.
You have a holistic view. I mean, you're literally standing over top of it, watching it like a game of Monopoly. I mean,
yeah. And the other thing that's interesting about brokers in general, in any industry, is if you talk with a broker, they'll have maybe a handful to 10 trusted people that they sell to.
Yeah.
We're looking at the entire market, the entire country. So we know if there's a pricing opportunity, an inefficiency in the market, and we can make it work with transportation, and let's say that opportunity is here in Chicago, but somebody in Denver, let's say, is buying at a rate that's just killing the market, we'll figure out a way to get it there. Whereas other people would be like, oh man, that's way too far. You'll never be able to get the transportation.
You never get there to be able to work with the margin,
Right.
I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, one thing that I'd ask is, so how big a market are you occupying now? Obviously in Chicago, but are you doing business outside of the Chicagoland area? Are you?
Sure. Yeah, we're in pockets in the Midwest.
Yep.
Obviously our backyard here.
Send all of our scrap to Milwaukee. Just take it.
Yeah. No, we send a lot to Ohio.
Yeah. They can have it too.
Yeah. We send a lot to the East Coast.
Can also have it.
Yeah, we do some business up there. You know, we're pulling material out of there and bringing it here.
Yep.
And we're starting to get into the Southeast. We're moving west towards the Rocky Mountains.
Yep.
So, you know, we're taking the model that we've proven out here, and we're taking it to other spots.
I would feel like a Louisiana and Alabama, Mississippi would be a place that would be. Would be fruitful there. I don't know enough about the industry, but just thinking about what all comes through down the Mississippi and what all comes through in the New Orleans area and the fishing area, you know, all the tools and boat stuff and just whatever.
Yeah, they have a very fruitful steel market down there because of the Gulf.
Yep.
So there's.
So I was right. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a few big steel mills down there that are producing a lot of steel. And so that is a good area. We're actually focusing on the Southeast now.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
It happens every once in a great while. This has been fun. I've never had so much fun talking about garbage, I got to tell you. thank you, Dale, so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
Where do people go to find ScrapGo? Is it ScrapGo.com? Is there Twitter and things like that?
You can find us on Twitter at ScrapConnect.
Okay.
We're also in some other places, but if you follow us on Scrap Connect, you'll find us.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You can stream this episode and more on WGN Plus app and Rivet Radio app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom. That's a wrap.